Dishwashers pollute. This is the Environment Report. I'm Lester Graham. You might have heard of the dead zone in the Gulf of Mexico. Well, there are dead zones other places, including some of the Great Lakes. In lakes, the culprit causing dead zones is phosphorus. We took phosphorus out of laundry detergent a long time ago, but it's still used in dishwashing soap. Michigan just passed a law that requires phasing it out. That's important because Michigan touches on four of the five Great Lakes. Rick Pluta covers Michigan State Capitol. Rick, why is phosphorus such a problem anyway?
Well, Lester, phosphorus promotes algae growth, and that chokes out other species. And when the algae die, they sink to the bottom and rot. Bacteria use up all the oxygen feasting on dead algae, and that makes a dead zone.
So why wasn't phosphorus banned for dishwashing soap when we banned it for laundry soap?
Well, that was before automatic dishwashers became so common.
Ah.
At least eight other states have already banned phosphorus, and you know the detergent companies aren't complaining. Many of them have already started doing this on their own.
Yeah, I know, but one industry guy told me dishwashing detergent doesn't work as well without phosphorus.
Well, people are getting their dishes clean where the change has already been made.
So does this take care of the problem with phosphorus and dead zones?
There's still plenty of phosphorus getting into the water. Most of it comes from fertilizer from farm fields.
All right, thanks, Rick.
You betcha.
The Bush White House has issued a statement saying it won't finalize fuel economy standards for cars and trucks. It's been holding back that decision because of the debate over the auto industry bailout. Some environmentalists are saying, fine, don't finalize CAFE standards. They weren't good enough anyway. Maybe Obama will do better. This is the Environment Report. You know, every once in a while in a city, you see a building that just stops you in your tracks. Karen Kelly has a story of a house designed just to do that.
When you first see it, you're just not sure. A two-story house is being covered with marks etched in concrete. Is it intentional or just a layer of construction? Then you see a large black figure on the west side of the house and realize, oh, it's a whale. Walk around the corner and you'll see flocks of birds. And just past the birds, there are three men working silently on a platform. Two are spreading layers of fresh concrete. The third is artist Christopher Griffin, the owner of the house. He uses a long, smooth bone to draw a picture after each swipe of the trowel and before the concrete sets. He says he has to work fast.
There's no chance to second guess.
His motivation was simple. His house really needed a new exterior. But the regular stuff that people put on their houses didn't feel right to him. Instead, he thought he'd try some drawings like he'd seen in a photo of mud huts in Africa.
It was organic. It wasn't pristine. It wasn't crisp. That sort of quality was something I was after.
While Griffin had this vision of giant sunflowers and caribou, contractors had no idea what he was talking about. Dan Charette is part of a team that was willing to give it a try.
It's a fantastic opportunity to bring our craftsmanship to a different level. It's really a lot of fun.
Griffin says what really makes him feel good is when people just stop and stare.
Absolute strangers stopping their cars and having a look. A teenage skateboarder stopped and said, wow, awesome house.
Griffin says in that way, his house has become a public space. In fact, he argues everyone's house is a public space.
Karen says Griffin told her people ought to think about the statement that their house makes. That's the Environment Report. I'm Lester Graham.
Support comes from the Joyce Foundation and the USDA's Cooperative Extension Service. You can find more information and share your thoughts with us at environmentreport.org.